Welcome to this podcast from the Medical Journal of Australia. My name is Sam Hunt, the MJA's news and online editor. Many Australians enjoy yeast extracts and tomato sauces, but how much is too much? New research has found that people who consume these yeast extracts and tomato-based sauces have higher median sodium intakes, but they also receive important nutrients from these products. We know that salt intakes in Australia are excessive, and my two guests today have been studying salt and studying yeast extracts, and they join me now. Laureate Professor Claire Collins is a professor in nutrition and dietetics at the University of Newcastle. She is also a National Health and Medical Research Council Leadership Research Fellow and the director of the Food and Nutrition Research Program for Hunter Medical Research Institute. My other guest is Dr. Erin Clark, who is an accredited practicing dietitian and a postdoctoral fellow in nutrition and metabolic health at the University of Newcastle. Laureate Professor Collins and Dr. Erin Clark, thank you both so much for joining me today.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Before we dive into your research, can you both please give our audience a little bit of an idea about your background and your passion for this topic? Claire, I'll start with you.
Yeah, well, I've been a dietitian for over 40 years now. And honestly, Sam, it's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. You know, when I was a 13-year-old at school, and they basically said a dietitian is someone who loves science and really loves knowing all about food. So I'm pretty much single-minded, and this particular topic is close to our heart because it's talking about some really great tasting products. I declare I'm a Vegemite lover, and the science and the reasons why we should be thinking about what we put on our toast.
And Dr. Clark,
yeah, so I'm also a dietitian and I don't mind Vegemite, but I probably don't love it as much as Claire. So I was more thinking of it from a practical aspect, like I work with patients and just thinking, how can I apply this into practice? Like, should I be telling people not to eat Vegemite and tomato sauce, or is it something I can encourage in like more practical ways?
And Professor Collins, I'll go to you for our next question. Before we discuss your research, why is it important for people to reduce their salt intake?
This is a really big issue, but it's a silent issue. And I think the problem is that you can't see salt that's hidden in your food. So salt, the chemical name is sodium and chloride. And it's actually the sodium that contributes to raising your blood pressure. And we know that in Australia, on average, we have about double the amount of sodium or salt, however you want to look at it, compared to the recommended maximum intake. And you go, oh, yeah, but it tastes so good. Well, the reason why it's a really big deal is because 1 in 3 adults have hypertension, which just means high blood pressure, in Australia. But the scariest statistic about that is that less than half of those actually have it under control or know they've got it. So hypertension is often referred to as like the silent epidemic because there is no symptom. You can't go, oh, I'm feeling a bit hypertensive, because you honestly have no idea. And yet we know that it contributes to 65% of the heart disease burden, 41% of the burden for stroke. And what many people don't realize, almost 40% of the burden of kidney disease. So we really want to look at, well, what are the nutritional ways of helping people reduce their salt intake in order to improve their blood pressure? And this is a really key thing in primary care, because the GP is likely to be the first point of call for measuring someone's blood pressure.
And let's dive into your research about the salt intake from yeast extracts and tomato-based sauces. Can you tell me what prompted your research? Dr. Clark, I'll go to you.
The year before, we published a paper on sauces and condiments just more generally and how they contributed to nutrient intakes. And we did find that people that had them did have a bit more higher energy, and it wasn't looking as promising, but we were very interested in Vegemite and tomato sauces, especially because a lot of Australians do enjoy those foods. So we thought we'd do a deeper dive and see if we have to put out a blanket statement that maybe sauces and condiments are not the best thing to be adding to your food, or if we can be a bit more specific with what we recommend.
And Professor Collins, what about you? What was the reasoning for you behind the research?
When I did my dietetic training, you know, like those 40 plus years ago, I vaguely remembered something about them saying, if we didn't have Vegemite spreads, we'd have to add more B vitamins, you know, into bread making flour. And so I really wanted to revisit that and see, does Vegemite really contribute something beyond what we already thought likely, the sodium? And is it an important food? And again, I think that gives us confidence there in terms of whether or not it is something that should be recommended or avoided. But because, you know, tomato sauce is really ubiquitous in the Australian diet, we also thought, well, that's another loved or hated condiment. So we should really look at, you know, step back and take a look so that we can provide very timely advice and take that deeper dive into the other nutrients that they may be contributing to.
And let's go through your findings. One of your main findings is that people who consume yeast extracts and tomato-based sauces have higher salt intakes in median terms. Dr. Clark, can you talk me through this?
We based these findings off the National Nutrition Survey. So there was about 12,000 people that we had 1 day's worth of intake for. And we found that 20% of people did consume either like a yeast extract like Vegemite, Marmite, or tomato-based sauces. So we're talking about general tomato sauce, barbecue sauce, salsas, and things like that as well. And we found that compared to the people that didn't consume any of these sauces or condiments, that they had higher intakes of lots of key nutrients, so lots of B vitamins. We also found like vitamin C and zinc, but especially sodium intake. So then we took a deeper dive separating the yeast extracts and the tomato-based sauces, and we found that the people that had higher amounts of the yeast extracts, they had significantly higher intakes of potassium, B vitamins, so that's things like thiamine, riboflavin, folate, as well as sodium, of course. And then again, when we looked at tomato-based sources, we found very similar results, but also that they contributed things like beta-carotene, as well as the excess sodium. So we found overall that really it was impacting sodium intake, but they did contribute some really key nutrients.
What about you, Laureate Professor Collins? What about these findings jump out to you?
Well, one of the big findings is that tomato sauce and Vegemite and the other, you know, spreads, they weren't eaten as commonly as what we thought. So that was a little bit of a surprise. So I think it reflects the diversity of the Australian food supply. When I was a kid, the only spreads was basically peanut butter, jam or Vegemite. There are a lot more foods out there, and there are a lot more different types of sauces as well. It did strike me that they're contributing meaningful amounts of sodium. In plain language, that means you should be choosing the reduced salt varieties if you're a lover of sauce or you're a lover of Vegemite or any of the other spreads. And the other thing is it did make us realise how important it is that the food supply, so the food manufacturers, are continuing to try and reduce the sodium intake in the background, even by stealth almost, so that we're not so aware of it because of this national problem that blood pressure is really, really common.
There are some very interesting findings there. Let's go through the implications for general practitioners who might be listening to this podcast. What kind of approaches would you suggest for Australian GPs when discussing diet, Dr. Clark?
So I think it's really important that GPs know they can recommend these broader ideas to people, and it's a very simple thing they could recommend. So just choosing those lower salt options, because it does contribute to high blood pressure, which is a silent killer for a lot of Australians. GPs could recommend very broad things to their patients, so encouraging them to eat a bigger variety of nutrient foods, including like whole grains and veggies, which if they do like Vegemite and tomato sauces, this might be another way to encourage them to eat a little bit more of those foods if they're choosing those salt-reduced options, especially increasing their intake of other potassium-rich food sources as well, because that can also counteract some of the effects we see from higher sodium intake. So again, thinking fruits and veggies and dairy foods there as well. We would also encourage them to recommend that people stop adding salt in the cooking and at the table as well, because that's a very easy way to cut back on extra added salt so that they can maybe enjoy these sauces and Vegemite spreads a little bit more in their diet if they choose to. And encouraging them to choose more lower salt or salt reduced options where they can, which is really great. Now we're seeing a lot more of these options in the shops. So it's getting a bit easier to find these products.
And Professor Collins, what would you like to add?
So I think there is a hierarchy that GPs could follow. You know, they're super busy, but pretty much the majority of Australians would benefit from eating more healthily. We know that diet-related burden of disease is the third highest. It comes in after smoking and then overweight and obesity. So you're not doing any harm by always, and in fact, you're helping by always recommending universal healthy eating advice. We have a website that's called No Money, No Time. So all you've got to remember, No Money, No Time, just Google that. It's got hacks and myths and recipes as well. The other standard part is always recommending this, choosing the reduced sodium for the majority of people that would be relevant. But I think it's worth GPs knowing who perhaps should be referred on to a dietitian. So those people would be people in the category where they've got hypertension, they're already on medication, it's not controlling blood pressure. They're likely to need what's called a low sodium diet. Rather than just, you know, selecting reduced salt, you actually need to be monitoring your actual milligrams of sodium and your milligrams of potassium, which is actually a helpful nutrient that can help counter blood pressure. And then the other group of patients who have high blood pressure, perhaps they also have type 2 diabetes or kidney disease, or may need to improve their health by targeting weight reduction. They're the two categories of patients that I would say definitely refer on to see an accredited practicing dietitian.
And for the general public who may be listening, cutting down salt really is worth the effort. Dr. Clark, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I think very simple, just not adding salt when you're cooking, trying to add things like herbs and spices to add a lot of flavour to your diet as well. Even just simply looking for any products labelled low sodium, low added salt, reduced salt when shopping can really help.
And Professor Collins, what would you like to add?
When you look at the data on how people use salt at home, I was actually surprised that 6 out of 10 adults still add salt in cooking. And as Erin said, if you do that just without even thinking, just challenge yourself, do I need to do that? Or if you just start to use less and less, over time your taste buds adjust. We're down to only about 3 out of 10 people putting salt on their food before they taste it. And if you start using a herb or a spice in its place, you can have flavorful food without the only flavor you recognize being salt. But when you get to away from home, about 50% of food you eat away from home comes from things you buy, and only just over a quarter actually from the restaurants and the fast food. So if you're buying a sandwich on autopilot, you're queued up at, you know, a takeaway place, you have to start remembering to say no salt. I mean, often they ask you, but the assumption is that you want salt. So you have to remember to ask for not salt. And if you are going to a restaurant where you're ordering from a menu, don't forget you're actually the customer. So you can ask for salt not to be added onto your food. Back in the days when all you got for lunch was a Vegemite sandwich, well, then there was less food products available in the supermarket, and there were less variety, and people really honestly hardly ever went out. So go to our website, No Money, No Time. There is also a lovely app from the George Institute called the Salt Switch. You can download that and you can scan the barcode of one of the products that you might usually buy, and it'll say, no, put that back. Go to this one. It's lower in salt. So between No Money, No Time and the Salt Switch app, there's some really great tools to help you.
Laureate Professor Claire Collins and Dr. Erin Clark, thank you both so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
My special guests have been Laureate Professor Claire Collins and Dr. Erin Clark. Professor Collins is a professor in nutrition and dietetics at the University of Newcastle, a National Health and Medical Research Council Leadership Research Fellow, and the director of the Food and Nutrition Research Program for Hunter Medical Research Institute. And Dr. Erin Clark is an accredited practicing dietitian and a postdoctoral fellow in nutrition and metabolic health at the University of Newcastle. You can read their research by clicking the link in the description of this podcast. And you can find more podcasts on our website at mja.com.au or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.